When people ask me about navigating their life after an ADHD diagnosis, I tell them it all depends on where they are in what I call the three phases of embracing ADHD. The first step after your diagnosis is to become aware of where it is that you struggle due to ADHD symptoms. For instance, I struggled with forgetfulness. My diagnosis helped me to understand that it wasn't because I wasn't paying close enough attention or that I wasn't trying hard enough, but that there was a problem with my working memory. Where a neurotypical person may take in information and hold it in their working memory until they decide what they're going to do with it, those of us with ADHD bring in the information to our working memory and then, I don't know, maybe it falls through a trap door in the floor? Once you create an awareness around how ADHD impacts you, you can start to accept that you are going to need a little bit of support in ways that a neurotypical person might not, and you can take action to support your unique ADHD brain. And an ADHD hack? It's a type of action that you can take to help support your ADHD brain. So if you are aware of how ADHD has impacted you, you've accepted that you're going to need a little bit of support to deal with day-to-day activities, and you are ready to take action, stay tuned for 6 more ADHD life hacks for ADHD moms on today's episode of the ADHD Mompreneur.
Welcome to the ADHD Mompreneur podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lingo. I'm a mom and entrepreneur with over a decade of experience in both. I also have ADHD, so I know firsthand how difficult it can be to navigate the neurotypical world as a mompreneur with a neurodivergent brain. And since you've probably already stopped paying attention to this boring introduction, let's go ahead and jump into today's episode.
In case you missed my first round of ADHD hacks for ADHD moms, I want to take a little time before I share my hacks to explain how you can effectively use them in your home. Think of these tips as a suggestion to start your own exploration. Many of these hacks are the second or third or seventh version of something that I saw or read someplace else. I mention this because I know that many of us with ADHD, that means me, often try something, and if it doesn't work the first couple of times, we drop it like a lead balloon. And while it is totally possible that this might not be the solution to your particular problem, there's also a chance that it might just need a little tweak in order to make it work for you and your family. So use the info that I'm giving you today as a springboard to help make your life easier as an ADHD mom trying to juggle all the things. And with that said, let's dive into 6 more ADHD life hacks for ADHD moms. First, keep a box of birthday cards on hand. I am the queen of stopping by the grocery store on the way to a birthday party because I forgot to buy a gift. And I started to notice that the greeting cards that I was buying for these last-minute gifts often were about a quarter of what I was spending on the gift card. So at the beginning of last year, I went on Amazon and bought myself a big old box of birthday cards that I can keep on hand here at the house. Now, when I'm rushing out the door to a birthday party, or if I want to send my friend a birthday card, but I don't want to put the effort into going to the store and buying it, I can do it more easily and economically and while I'm thinking about it. Next, collect all the empty hangers in your closet at the end of your hanging bar. I hate doing laundry almost as much as I hate doing dishes. Almost. I think it's just because there's so many steps involved with laundry that it's really hard for me to motivate myself to do it until I notice that my 10-year-old has been wearing the same pants every day for the last 3 days. But I have discovered a trick that makes it a little bit easier for me to get over the hurdle of putting my laundry away, and that is to keep all of my empty hangers at one end of my hanging bar so that I can more easily find them when I need them. For some reason, hunting for empty hangers in between all of my shirts and pants and sweaters was just one step too many, and it was hard for me to put my laundry away. With all the empty hangers together, I can easily and quickly grab all of them, take them to the laundry basket, hang up the clothes, and put them away, which means there's one less energy-sapping step on my way to actually completing this task. Number three, keep your key fob in a pocket in your purse. I once lost the key fob to our Honda Pilot for 2 years, and literally days before we were getting ready to order a new key fob, which would have been like $300, it magically appeared in my work bag in a pocket that I swore that I checked 2 years before. Now I keep key fobs for both of our cars in the front pockets of my purse, and I do not touch them unless I absolutely need to. If I need to grab something out of my car, I literally take my purse with me out to the car and stand next to it rather than just bringing the key fob. This works for me well because I always have my purse when I leave my house, which means I always have my car keys on me. And even though my purse isn't exactly huge, it is bigger than a key fob, which means that I'm not going to stick it in a pocket or some other bag and forget where I've put it. I am also much less likely to misplace my entire purse than I am a tiny key fob. Number four, use a password manager. I am embarrassed to admit that I used to be a girl who just used the same password over and over for all of my accounts. Frankly, it was just easier for someone who has trouble remembering things. But that all changed one day when I opened my email and discovered a message from Walmart, a place that I rarely shop, saying that my order had been delayed. I thought to myself, I haven't ordered anything from Walmart in years. Upon opening the email, I found out that somebody had gotten into my account and ordered a $400 pair of AirPods. I immediately started to panic, wondering how many other times I had maybe missed something like this that had happened in one of my accounts. The people at Walmart were great in canceling the order and refunding my money, but I definitely learned an important lesson. That's when I started using a password manager to help me to create complex and different passwords for every single one of my accounts. I can use it both on my computer and on my phone, and it will automatically fill in my username and my password for each account. It also reminds me if I haven't changed my password for a long time, and it tells me if I still have any accounts that have the same password so that I can change those up. Number five, use your kids' practice as a body doubling session. Body doubling is a productivity strategy where you work alongside somebody else to help you complete an activity that you might find challenging. Having somebody nearby may help you stay focused, engaged, or motivated to finish the job. But here's the thing. Work doesn't necessarily have to be somebody else doing something business related next to you. In fact, it doesn't even have to be related to you at all. If you've ever noticed that you can get more done if you are working at a coffee shop or in a co-working space as opposed to your quiet home office, you may have been experiencing the benefits of body doubling. When my oldest started swim team last fall, I decided to see if I could use his work in the pool to help inspire my work on the deck. And I have to say, I have written many podcasts, I have scheduled many client check-ins, and I have gotten through a huge number of ADHD-related videos on YouTube that have been sitting in my watch later queue while I've been sitting on the side of the pool. So if you find yourself sitting on the sidelines for one of your kids' practices, maybe see if you can use it as an inspiration to get done some of the tasks that you struggle to do when you are at home alone. And finally, schedule text messages. This is seriously one of my most favorite hacks, especially if you are like me and you remember that you need to reply to somebody or send somebody a text message at a wholly inappropriate hour. For me, I usually remember things at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning when I first wake up. And I'm pretty sure that nobody wants to hear from me at that hour. But rather than add text Sarah back to my ever-growing and already overwhelming to-do list, I simply write the text and schedule it to go out at a more reasonable hour. Scheduling texts is also great if you have birthday messages that you don't want to forget to send. Or I personally had a friend who was going through cancer treatment, and I sat down and scheduled messages to go out every day of her chemotherapy. And if you are currently working with me or start working with me in the future, all of those text messages that you receive, those are scheduled, because ain't nobody got time to write 300 text messages in real time every day. Now, I'm an Android girl, specifically a Samsung girl, and they make the process very easy to do within the text message app. If you are an iPhone user, there is a process where you can use shortcuts to schedule a message, but it is a little clunky. You may need to download a third-party app if you do want to use your iPhone to schedule messages. I am always looking for ways to help make my ADHD mom life easier. So if you've got a hack that you would like to share that helps to reduce the amount of bandwidth that you use for everyday actions, drop it in the comments below or leave me a voicemail message at the link in the show description. I actually have a few more hacks that I will share in part 3, so if you share yours, it might just make it into the next installment. And if you liked today's episode and you missed part 1, you can find the link in the show description. That's all for this week's episode. I'll be back next week to talk about mindless fidgets and other ways that you can help your brain to focus when you need to get stuff done. So make sure that you're following me or you've subscribed so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes of the ADHD Mompreneur.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the ADHD Mompreneur podcast. If you're a business-owning mom with ADHD, you're going to need to grab my free, customizable, essential checklists for ADHD mompreneurs by visiting bit.ly/checklistsforADHDmompreneurs or by following the link in the episode description. To keep up with my latest episodes, make sure you hit the follow or subscribe buttons. And do it now, before you forget. Until next time,